Well, let's get stuck in and let's discover where we go together. It's like a choose your own adventure sermon today. Like I said, not a Hallmark Christmas. I was looking for that, but we're going to do that another time because God has spoken a word to us today. He said, prepare to be amazed. He said, expect and prepare to be amazed. And so I feel we're going to start with a scripture. As we're doing the worship, I just couldn't get away in my spirit that we had to pray for Josh and we had to start here and then we'll see where God goes. And it's actually it's a passage in the book of Amos. How many have been reading Amos a lot lately in your morning devotions? All right, how many, if I gave you 30 seconds, could find Amos in your Bible? How many could do it without looking in the index? Definitely none of us. Yeah, probably our pastors could, you know. But I want to, if you've got a Bible or a phone, turn to Amos chapter 9. Our pastor's been preaching a great series lately from the book of Isaiah. How many have been enjoying that? Been getting a lot out of that. And in the book of Isaiah, and talking about the remnant, you know, how Isaiah prophesied to the remnant. He was prophesying to a people in Israel who were, they were walking away from God. They were walking in idolatry. And he prophesied to them that they were going to go into exile. But then the last portion of Isaiah, the last 27 books of, chapters of Isaiah, he shifts and he starts talking with this sense of hope about this remnant that's going to come on the other side of the exile and how they're going to come and there's going to be this amazing redemption. And it's very New Testament and how they're going to be taking coming back to their homeland and they're going to turn deserts into gardens. They're going to bring God's life everywhere they go. They're going to bring peace and prosperity and shalom, and God's glory is going to be with them, and we're going to see that. And so, Book of Amos. Amos is a prophet. He was actually he wasn't really recognized as a prophet. He was a shepherd and a farmer. No one really thought much of him, but God gave him this prophetic message. The Book of Amos was written very, very similar time to Isaiah. Most people think it was maybe about 7 or 8 years before Isaiah, but very similar time in the same time. And it's actually very, very, very similar to the Book of Isaiah, but it's much shorter. The Book of Amos is only 9 chapters. Isaiah wrote 66. Amos just wrote 9 chapters in his prophecy. And the bulk of it is prophesying to this idolatrous people saying, judgment is coming. Change your ways or judgment is coming. You're going to be hauled off into exile. You're going to be destroyed. Your life is going to go wrong. They didn't listen, and that's what happened. That's what we saw, the exile. They went to Babylon. But just as with Isaiah, there was a passage right at the last part of Isaiah, as our pastor's been speaking, he speaks to the remnant and the hope coming back. All in the same way, Amos has this small portion at the end of his prophecy where he speaks to the remnant and he describes what it's going to be like for the remnant. And I just felt today, I felt to begin, but we're going to just look at what Amos said to the remnant. And I feel very much in my spirit, this is a prophetic word for Breakthrough Church this Christmas. And if you take that, I believe you can grab hold of that today. We are the remnant, as our pastor's been speaking to us. We are the ones now through Jesus. We're like the remnant in this world. We are turning deserts into gardens. Wherever we go, we are bringing heaven to earth, the God's glory rising up in us and through us. And as God's been speaking to us today about prepare to be amazed, I really felt just to begin, we're going to just look at this passage and what it looks like to be a remnant, the promise that God gives to the remnant that we can take for ourselves here today and what this could look like for us here in this world. And we're going to go from there. So let's do that. So this is Amos chapter 9, and we're going to go verse 11. And God says, in that day, I will raise up the booth of David that's fallen. I'll repair its branches. I'll raise up its ruins. I'll rebuild it as in the days of old. So he says, I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to bring life back to it, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. In verse 13, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Say, the days are coming. The days are coming when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, The treader of grapes overtakes him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. They shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they will never again be uprooted out of the land that I've given them, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. That's an awesome picture, isn't it? What it looks like to walk in God's blessing, to be a remnant in the desert, bringing gardens and bringing life. And I want to highlight that verse in verse 13. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when he says the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. You know, the picture there, what does it look like for the plowman to overtake the reaper? You know, if you're a farmer, these guys obviously were a farming community. That was their livelihood. That's how they lived. And so you would have seasons in the year where you do certain things. You would have a season for plowing, which is your season for sowing. So you'd go at a particular season of the year. I'm not going to pretend to be a farmer and try and tell you what time exactly it is. But, you know, we all know there's a time of year where it's right to do the planting. So you go and they would plow the ground and they would prepare the ground and get it ready. So the ground's all ready to go. Then at the right time, they plant their seeds and do all that. Then you go and you have a season of then watering the seeds and looking after them, like we just prayed with Josh, where the roots are going down but nothing comes up. And then there's a season where it's growing and developing and it's fruitful. And then you have a season of reaping, a harvest, the harvest season. You know, how many love the harvest season? Amen. How many love the plowing season? Amen. Goes back Pastor Peter. He taught it. And so there's seasons in a year, and then you go and do it again, and that's how it works. That's how that works. God, that's a principle in life. God talks about how as long as you're on the earth, seed time and harvest will not end. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians about giving offerings and gifts in the same way is seed and harvest. He says, he sows bountifully will reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap bountifully. He talks about actually finances in this same in exactly the same way. Jesus said in Luke 6 that he said that with the same measure with which you give, you will reap. And so he talks about the word as seed. And so these truths here, obviously for them in their agricultural society, but they're truths that are also true in many areas. You might not own a farm, you know, maybe you've got a veggie patch. How many actually do any sort of like actual real like planting things? Oh yeah, there we go. So a few, yeah. How many have tried to do actual real planting things and yeah, and you don't do that anymore. but anyway, we know that there's that season for plowing and that season for reaping. And it says here that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. So the guy who comes to do the plowing of the field is going to be plowing and overtaking the one who's reaping. So what happens to make that occur? Because they're different seasons. They're like 6 months apart. By the time the plowman comes, the reaper should be well and truly finished. Is that right? The reaper comes and he reaps in his season, and then months and time goes by, and then there's a season for plowing. But he's saying here that when the plowman comes, he's going to come and the reaper is going to be still doing the reaping because the harvest is so huge. Is that right? That when the harvest is so big, it actually takes the reaper so long that they keep going and the plowman's like, it's my turn. I've got to be plowing, but there's still fruit to be harvested. There's still harvesting happening. In the same way, he then says, the treader of grapes overtakes him who sows the seed. It's the same thing talking about wine. They would take the grapes, they would tread them, they would make the wine out of them, and it's going to be the harvest is so great that they'll still be treading when it's time to sow the next seed. And so this is an amazing picture of what God speaks to the remnant, of what God speaks to them that we can take for us today as the remnant, as those turning deserts into gardens. What would your life look like? Would it be amazing? Would God amaze you if the plowman was overtaking the reaper in your life? If when you sowed into God's kingdom as you sow into God's kingdom, as you sow into those around you, God so blesses you abundantly that it just overflows and it pours over in that sense that the plowman overtakes the reaper. It says, and the mountains will drip sweet wine and all the hills will flow with it. There's provision and there's life flowing forth into them. You know, I think actually it talks about this exact concept in the book of Leviticus. I'll just read this to you quickly. This is Leviticus 26. How many are familiar with the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 28? How many are familiar with Deuteronomy 28, which is a passage where God talks about the blessings and the curses? He says, choose who you're going to follow, and if you follow me, you'll be blessed. If you don't follow me, you'll be cursed. Leviticus actually has a very similar sort of parallel passage in Leviticus 26. And he says here, Leviticus 26 verse 3, he says, if you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their seasons. Remember, we're talking about the seasons. The land will yield its increase and the trees of the field will yield their fruit. So he says, you will be fruitful in the season. And then he goes on to say, indeed, your threshing will last to the time of the grape harvest. And the grape harvest shall last all the way to the time of sowing. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. He says, if you follow me and you do this my way, I'll bless you so much that your harvest will last all the way through to when you're going to be sowing again. Your harvest is going to be so great. It's going to be so abundant that you're going to be harvesting and harvesting all the way and all the time. I actually believe actually, let me just keep reading this to you. He says, I don't know for who or what, but there's messages here. God is speaking specifically to people here. I will give peace in the land and you will lie down and none shall make you afraid. I'll remove the harmful beast from the land and the sword shall not go through your land. You'll chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall chase 10,000. Wow. Imagine what we could do as a group of however many of us are here. Your enemies will fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat old store long kept, and you shall have to clear out the old to make way for the new. He's saying your harvest is going to be so abundant and so fruitful that your barns are going to be full, and you're going to have to take old stuff out of your barns and just toss it away because I'm going to make it so abundant and make the harvest so fruitful and so abundant for you. He says, I will make my dwelling among you. My soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. It talks about a very similar concept there, doesn't it? That when God blesses, there's this sense where he blesses abundantly and overflow and overwhelmingly, that you reap one harvest and it just keeps going all the way through to the next one. Then it's like, oh, we just have to clear out the last harvest because this harvest is so huge, we have to clear out the last one. God spoke to us today and he said, prepare and expect to be amazed. Prepare to be amazed. And I really felt, I don't know exactly why. I'm not going to pretend to be God. I'm just one here trying to speak what he's saying. That today, as he said that this was the passage that we had to look at. How would it amaze you to see this happen and fulfilled in your life? How would it amaze you to see this fulfilled? And like I said, not many of us are, you know, agricultural. We don't make our living by actually growing fruit or grapes or grain or anything else. But in the same way, we still make our living. We still live for God. We still follow him. We sow and reap. The same principles work in different ways. We sow our time. We sow our money. We sow love. We sow into God's kingdom. We sow ourselves. We sow our lives and follow God. And he wants to bring a harvest that is going to amaze. I declare that today. He wants to bring a harvest that's going to amaze, that he's going to do abundantly beyond what you could even ask or imagine. If I've got my phone here, I'm going to just go quickly back to Amos 9. Then I want to jump to one other scripture and then we're going to just pray together for a few minutes. So Amos chapter 9, the same passage we looked at, I want to read it to you quickly in the Message Bible. So the Message is obviously a paraphrase translation, but I think sometimes it can be really helpful to totally change the language of it and to give us a picture of what's being said. It's not trying to translate it word for word. It's translating the pictures of what's being said. So this is the Message Bible. I won't have it on the screen, but I want you just to listen to this and take it in. Amos chapter 9, verses 13 to 15 in the Message Bible. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Amen. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right for my people Israel. They'll rebuild the ruined cities. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. They'll work their gardens and eat fresh vegetables, and I'll plant them on their own land. They'll never again be uprooted from the land I've given them. God, your God, says so. I love that way that he translates where it talks about the part about the plowman overtaking the reaper and that thing. He says, things are going to happen so fast your head will swim, one thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. What a beautiful picture of that concept. He said, you won't be able to keep up. It's like, oh, there's harvest here and fruit here. Everywhere you look, blessings pouring in abundantly over the top. I declare that is a prophetic picture that God spoke to the remnant, that God has spoken to his remnant, and we can grab hold of today. I believe it's a prophetic picture that God actually wants to speak to us today at Breakthrough, that God wants to speak to people here. He wants to say that things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. I declare in Jesus' name, this is a season where God is saying it's time for a harvest. It's time for a harvest season. You know, I declare there's a scripture in Galatians 6. He said, Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I declare God is saying to us today that there are people here who have sown faithfully. They've sown to the, like it says here, who have sown to the Spirit faithfully. And I declare by God's Spirit that Amos 9, God is saying that is a word for people here today, that season is coming suddenly, like God says, where suddenly blessings will flow, where suddenly a harvest will flow. I believe that people have sown faithfully to the Spirit. Have faith. Could you just pray with me for a minute? Lord, I think I believe there's people here who are part of this, who are listening, and for years maybe have sown faithfully. Have faithfully sown to the Spirit, have faithfully followed you, have faithfully sown. And you are declaring in Jesus' name that word that you spoke prophetically to the remnant, that you spoke prophetically to us, that the season of harvest is coming. Like it says there, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in the due season we will reap if we do not give up. God is coming to you today and he's saying, do not give up. Do not give up, because I believe in Jesus' name it's a time to reap. This is not a message saying, oh, it's all about me, gimme, gimme, I want to reap and be fat and enjoy life. No, this is a season where God says there are seasons, and there is a season to sow, and then there's a season to reap and to have storehouses full and overflowing, that you are then the one turning deserts into gardens, that you are the one bringing gardens and bringing life everywhere you go. And I declare in Jesus' name, God is saying he's going to leave you astounded. He's leaving you amazed. He wants to work and do this. I believe that for people. This is a season of harvest that's stepping into. It is a season of harvest. God is saying that his times and seasons are in his hands. He said the seasons are in his hands, and it is a season of harvest to step into. I see harvest in relationships. I see harvest in family relationships. I see a picture that you've been sowing into family members and relationships faithfully for years and years and years on end, just faithfully. Maybe it's just being there, just being there, just constantly sowing love, just constantly sowing the word, just constantly sowing to the Spirit. Just constantly sowing into their lives, sowing into their lives. I declare that God is saying, do not grow weary in doing good, because a season of harvest is coming. And when He steps in, His harvest is an Amos 9 harvest. His harvest, it pours over the top. Sure, I believe that David and Jocelyn, I don't know, but I believe for relationships, there are people you have been sowing into faithfully. And I sense maybe you felt like, God, why do I bother? Why do I keep trying? Because it's just not working. It's just like I can't see anything happening. But God is saying those roots are going down, those roots are going down. And suddenly when there's a harvest, it's an overwhelming, overflowing, barn-breaking harvest that then the next year you're still harvesting when it's plowing time. You will still be harvesting when it's the next plowing time. Sandy, you'll still be harvesting when it's the next plowing time. God sees the seed and He declares there's a season of harvest. In Jesus' name. That's Psalm 127. I want to quickly read this to you today. Oh, sorry, Psalm 126. This is a passage that talks about being amazed at God. It says, and you know, it's a passage about being amazed at God when He brought the remnant back. It's actually talking about, it's on the other side. It's saying when, as the remnant, when we came back, it's talking about how amazed they were. It says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. We were like those who dream. They literally said it was so good. We were like, is this a dream? You know, I would translate that, we were pinching ourselves because we said, this is too good to be true. Then our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was filled with joyful shouting. They said all amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And we said, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. He said, they restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev or streams in the south. Those who sow in tears, he was talking about sowing, those who sowed in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. They who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, will come home with shouts of joy, bringing their sheaves with them. I declare that in Jesus' name. How many feel like you have sowed in tears? You know, how many can relate to sowing in tears? Saying, God, I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna go and reach out again. I'm gonna go and give this away. God, I've got nothing left, but this is all I've got, so I'm gonna give it. God, I'm gonna keep going and doing the right thing. I'm gonna stay faithful. I'm gonna stay faithful where you've called me. I'm gonna stay faithful to do what you've called me to do. I'm gonna serve faithfully. Whatever it is, we can sow in tears. And He says, you will reap with shouts of joy. He will reap in shouts of joy. You know, if you go back to, if you could put verse 4 back up for me. Josh, thank you so much. He said, restore our fortunes, O Lord, or restore our captivity. I'm not sure what translation that is. Like the streams in the Negev, the streams in the arid south. The Negev was a region, it often translates as the arid south. It was sort of like a desert region in the south where they were. And this region, I've read this in multiple places, so this is very, very well documented. The Negev was known as the area where it was very dry. It was a desert. But then when it rained, it was known very commonly for flash floods. And so it would be totally dry, totally barren, and then you would have a sudden flash flood. And so it was actually a very unsafe place to be because it would be dry for months or years or whatever, and then suddenly it would rain and it would just flash flood and wash everything away. So when he's saying in the streams in the Negev, to the people there who knew it, that would be like, to us it's just like, oh yeah, in the stream somewhere. Restore our fortunes like the streams, that's lovely, like running water. He's saying no, very specifically, he's saying, we want you to restore our fortunes like the Negev, where it's dry and it's barren, and then suddenly all at once, it's a flash flood and it flows forth. They're very specific there. They don't just say restore our fortunes like streams or like flowing water. He says like the streams in the Negev, the area where it's barren and it's dry, and then suddenly it's a bursting forth flash flood. You know, the streams, it's a flash flood. It's a bank-breaking, overwhelming harvest. He says, those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. I declare that. God is speaking that today. He wants to leave you astounded and amazed because there are people who have sowed faithfully, who've sown diligently. Like Paul said, who have continued to sow, continued to pray. Maybe you have sown diligently in prayer for year on year on year on year. And he's saying the season will come. The season is here for harvest. I believe that. God is wanting us to step into a season of the harvest. And that's how he works. That's what he does. If you have faithfully sown, then this is for you today. If you have faithfully sown, I keep seeing that with relationships, with people, with family members who aren't walking with Jesus. I'm not saying that's the only space. I just keep seeing that. But as you've sown faithfully into family members who are not walking with Jesus, you have sown faithfully into family and friends, he sees that. And he says he restores your fortunes like the streams of the Negev, where suddenly, and you'll be like it says in Amos 9, the message, like blessing upon blessing, so much you can't keep up, suddenly overwhelming all at once. Now I want to read one more passage and then we're going to finish off in just a minute. But we've spoken a lot about the seed and the harvest and those seasons. And like we saw before in Leviticus 26, the same in Deuteronomy 28, God very specifically talks about this as part of the blessing. He talks about the harvest on seeds. I won't read it now, but in Deuteronomy 28, verses 4, 5, 7, and 11, he specifically says the part of his blessing, a significant part of his blessing, is that when you sow, you will reap and enjoy the harvest of it. However, in Deuteronomy 28, verses 30 to 33, it's the other side. It says, in the curse, if you're not following me, you'll sow and others will enjoy the harvest. So he is very, very clear. He says part of his blessing is that you reap a good harvest on the seeds that you've sown. In Isaiah 62, this is where God is speaking to the remnant, to his people. And now these people, they've been in captivity in Babylon. They have not been enjoying God's blessings. And he says to them in verse 8, he says, the Lord has sworn by his right hand. When he talks about his right hand, he's talking about covenant. He's saying the Lord is making a covenant promise. I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners will not drink your wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and they will gather it and drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. He's saying to them there, he says, you know, my blessing says that when you sow, you will reap and enjoy the benefits. The curse means that you'll sow and it won't work. Someone else will enjoy it. He's saying you've been living on the curse side, but he's saying it's time now that when you sow, you're going to reap. As the remnant, when you step into this, when you sow, you are going to reap and enjoy this bountiful blessing that I promised in my blessing, as my covenant blessing to you. But I want to read the verses before this. I believe at the prayer meeting on Thursday, you might have actually spoken about these passages. I don't know. Dad was talking to me about them on his way to the prayer meeting, which normally means that's what you're going to pray about. I'm just going to go from verse 6. He says, Isaiah 62, these are the verses exactly before that. He says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I've set watchmen. Well, that word watchmen is often translated intercessors. He says, all day and all night, they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest for yourself, and get this next verse, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Then the next verse, it goes on to say what we just read, saying you're going to enjoy the harvest of your seeds. But what God's saying here is he's actually set people to be watchmen, to be intercessors on the wall. And he said, you've got to take no rest, crying out to God and declaring this and calling this in until it happens. And then he said, then you're going to enjoy the harvest on what you've sown and that sort of thing. But right before he says that, you're going to enjoy the harvest on what you've sown, you're going to enjoy that. He says, I'm setting people who their job is to not stop crying out day and night and call it in. And he says, take no rest for yourself. All the day and all the night, they shall never be silent, you who put the Lord in remembrance. I read this in the NET commentary. There was actually, back in that time, Israelite kings actually had officials, and they had the title called Those Who Remind, is how it translates into English, Those Who Remind. And their job was actually to remind the king continually of what he'd committed to do. You know, they didn't have Siri saying, hey, Siri, remind me on Thursday at 4 o'clock to do this. Or, hey, Siri, remind Dad that I promised to mow his lawns next week. You know, remind the so-and-so's birthday. They didn't have that back then. And so the king would actually have officials. I'm mowing the lawns next week. Well, there we go. I feel like I can't back out of it now. All right, next Sunday I'll have to. We'll show you all the picture of Dad's freshly mown lawns. They didn't have Siri. Good for them. But the king actually had real officials, and their role title was translates literally those who remind. So they would stay with the king, and their job was to remember all the things the king had promised to do and continually remind him, remember you promised to do this. You know, and that could be smallish things. You know, I doubt it was mowing the lawns, but you know, it could be, oh, remember you've made a pact with this king. Remember you've entered into the covenant here. No, remember you've said you're going to bless these people. You're going to do this. They would remind the king continually. And so when it says you who put the Lord in remembrance, it actually uses exactly the same phrase. And it's almost saying that, hey, God is the king. And these watchmen, these people, your role is to be these ones, those who remind. Say, hey, king, remember you promised this. King, remember you promised this. Hey, king, remember you promised this. And it says here, all the day and all the night, they shall never be silent, you who put the Lord in remembrance. So you who remind him. And it says, you take no rest for yourself. And get this, it says, and give him no rest until he fulfills his word. You know, I don't know about you, but that feels a bit intimidating to say, hey, don't let God rest till he fulfills your word. Say, God, you said this. No, God, don't you dare rest. You haven't done this. You haven't done this yet. You said you'd fulfill this word. But God wrote this. God said this. This was his idea. Not because he's up here folding his arms and he's saying, I don't want to do it. I can't be bothered. I want to put my feet up. And we're like, no, you can't rest till you do it. Oh, fine. That might be me mowing the lawns next week. But that's not how God wants to bring harvest, wants to work. But God needs these watchmen to work. That's how he set up this earth system. God can't just step into earth and do everything that he wants to do. You know, there is a real devil. There are real spiritual principles enforced here that means God needs us, the watchmen, those who remind, to stand in the gap and to cry out to him day and night, say, God, you promised this. I'm holding you to your covenant promise. I'm holding you to your covenant promise. I am holding you to your covenant promise, and I will give you no rest until you do this. I will give you no rest until you do this. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop crying. I'm going to be like that persistent widow it talks about in the book of Luke, who it says eventually the judge said, fine, I'll give her what she wants. Otherwise, she's going to blacken my eye. Otherwise, she's going to hit me. She's so determined. I'm just going to give her what she wants. No, that judge was God in that story. Not now. God is not saying he doesn't want to give us what we want, but he's saying that's the way that we need to come to him, with that persistence and that importunity, and saying, God, I will give you no rest until you do it. We're the watchman. And so it says here that God has sworn, he's given us a covenant promise to bring that harvest on every seed that's been sown, to step into his blessing. But to step into that, we have to be the watchman and to cry out to him and say, God, we cry out to you day and night. You know what? I've been faithfully sowing for years, and I've been faithfully crying out to you for years. And so I'm going to come today and I'm going to cry out to you again. And I'm going to say, God, you promised. I'm going to give you no rest until you fulfill your covenant word. I'm going to give you no rest until you fulfill your covenant word. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to stop crying out. I'm going to give you no rest until you fulfill your covenant word. And I really feel that God's calling us today to be those watchmen. And he's saying that we are stepping into, as we cry out to him, we are stepping into a season of harvest. I believe that harvest on seeds that have been faithfully sown, it is a season to step into harvest. I declare that in Jesus' name. Maybe if the band want to come up, that would be awesome. I don't, could you guys get that song ready? Leave Me Astounded. Just that chorus, Leave Me Amazed. God has said to us today that he wants to leave us astounded. You can keep playing that for now if you want, Jay. We'll get that in a minute. God has said to us specifically today, I declare that it is a season for harvest. Those who have sown in tears shall reap in joy. And I declare in Jesus' name, by the Spirit of God, it is time to see that. It is time to step into that. It is time today. You lay hold of that if you want or not. That's up to you. But God is speaking that today, I believe, as a prophetic word. It is time to step into that harvest today in Jesus' name. I declare again, those who have been ministering and reaching out to loved ones for years and years faithfully, God is saying it is the season for harvest. God is speaking that. And when this harvest comes, he's spoken us two things. We like the streams in the Negev, like a sudden flash flood. There's not a warning. It doesn't slowly rise up. It's like, bang, we've gone from 0 to 100. And he says, like Amos 9, that this harvest will be barn-breaking, overwhelming. This harvest will be so great that the plowman's going to overtake the reaper. You're going to still be reaping the harvest when it comes to the time for sowing again, when it comes to the time for plowing. I declare that in Jesus' name. Wherever you are, can you just take a minute and just let God work in your heart? Just respond to him in your heart. Let's just wait on God for a minute. Just let him speak to us. Just for one more minute, just see. I just feel the presence of God. Just let him work in your heart. Let what he's saying here, it's not a regular sermon. It's I believe a prophetic mandate and message. It flows in with what God's been saying earlier. He's leaving us amazed. Prepare to be amazed. He's saying it's a season to step into the harvest on the seeds that have been sown. It is the season to harvest that. Let him speak in your heart what that looks like. Let him speak in your heart what it looks like to prepare for that. You know, if you really believe this, if these people really believed it, they would get ready for it. They'd prepare for a big harvest. What does that look like for you? Do you need to carve out time in your calendar for those people that God's going to be connecting and bringing in, for those family members who are far from God and he's going to be bringing into his kingdom? Do you need to carve out time in your calendar for that? What does it look like for you to build a barn? You need to write a letter ready to sow that seed that God's put in your heart. Do you need to get plans, get drawings done, get things ready, in order? God has spoken that word today. Prepare to be amazed. I believe this concept, it flows out of that. believe it partners with it. It is, I declare in Jesus' name, it is the season of harvest. Like Galatians chapter 6 said, if we don't grow weary in doing good, we will reap a harvest in the right season. I believe it's the season where God's saying to step into that. Is that season. And he's leaving you amazed. What would it look like for God to leave you amazed? What would it look like for God to leave you amazed?